Welcome to Inside the Studio of the Podcaster, where we open up the studio doors and look at the equipment, the software, the apps, and the plugins that make it all happen, that podcasters like yourself can't live without. And now, here's your host, Scott Herzog. Welcome to episode 5. I am your podcasting guru tonight, showing you how you can save time on your podcast. On this show, I'll be sharing an interview I did with Ben DeBono from the Sci-Fi Christian podcast. We'll be talking about how he streamlines his podcast using a program called Soundbite. Stay tuned after the interview. I'll be giving away 4 copies of Soundbite for free. Now, if you haven't been to the Inside the Studio of the Podcaster site, you can find out quite a bit of information there. Like, you can find out some of the equipment I use to record this podcast like I'm doing tonight. Much of the equipment is available from my Amazon store, which is an awesome way that you folks can support the podcast. You can find the equipment I use at podcastingguru.com/myequipment. And now for podcasting terms in 3 minutes or less. Tonight's term is normalization. Many times people confuse normalization with leveling, which means adjusting all your levels so that they are basically the same. But what normalization does is it adjusts the overall loudness of a specific track or audio file to a specified loudness target. That way, all the processed files have a similar average loudness. So some content producers have argued whether normalization is even really necessary. Some say that if you have your mix right and your levels set correctly, normalizing is unnecessary. But things happen, and in reality, you don't want your podcast blasting the eardrums off someone or being too quiet that the listener can't hear it over the sound of the car engine. For those of you with mixers, normalization is indistinguishable from moving the volume knob or fader. But in the digital world, normalization scans the audio file for the loudest sound and then adjusts it accordingly. This is kind of what Auphonic does. We interviewed Georg Holtzman from Auphonic last week, and you can check out that episode at podcastingguru.com/auphonic.com. If you want a more thorough discussion and discourse on normalization, I'll throw a link in the show notes at podcastingguru.com/soundbite. If you have a term you'd like me to address on some future show, please email me at podcastingguru@gmail.com. Well, we're here at Inside the Studio of the Podcaster, and I have with me tonight someone who is my sworn mortal enemy from the Sci-Fi Diner podcast a long time ago, but I decided to bring him on the show. With me is Ben DeBono from the Sci-Fi Christian podcast. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Scott. Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you know.
Us good to more... bury the hatchet here on this podcast.
Yeah. That was around show 100 for you guys, wasn't it? It was a while ago we did that.
Oh, it was even before that. Pretty early on.
Yeah, so if you don't know what we're referring to, you got to go back into the Sci-Fi Christian podcast, the archives, or the Sci-Fi Diner archives. We had a throwdown. It was a throwdown, what, about, was it Fringe or...
Yeah, I think it was Fringe. We didn't like the finale of season 3. You guys did, so we duked it out.
Yeah, we duked it out or something about that. So for the Sci-Fi Diner podcast, another podcast that I'm a part of here. Ben, tell us just a little bit about your podcasting experience, how you maybe got into podcasting, and a little bit about the podcast that you are currently running.
Sure. Well, really everything I've done with podcasting, I owe to my co-host, Matt Anderson, who I do the Sci-Fi Christian with, which is my current podcast. Matt, anybody who knows Matt and talks to him for more than about 30 seconds knows that he is a lost super fan of the TV show.
Okay.
And when he and I first met, was Lost had like a season or two left or something like that. And during the last season, Matt started doing a series of video podcasts on YouTube called The Lost Report with Matt Anderson. And I did a number of those with him. We enjoyed it and everything. And so we decided that we were going to start podcasting together. So the first podcast we did was a small podcast for the church we were going to at the time. We were both part of a church plant at the time. And so we did a podcast called The Life Report. And I say it's a small podcast because I think we had about five listeners. which, you know, when you're going to a small church and you're doing a podcast just for the church, you're not expecting a huge audience base. But it was right. Fun. I mean, we had a good time and everything. We really enjoyed doing it. We just were hoping we had more listeners. And so over time, you know, when you don't have a ton of people listening to you, it's easy to get off track then and just start talking less about church stuff and more about whatever we wanted to talk about. So we found ourselves on that show having long conversations, not about whatever our topic was supposed to be, but about, you know, comic books and sci-fi stuff and all of that. And we were always kind of like, well, you know, there's a few people listening, so we probably should keep it more church related, but we're having a lot more fun talking about this stuff. And so that led Matt to come up with the idea for the Sci-Fi Christian, where it would be our own thing. We wouldn't have to worry about, you know, embarrassing the church by talking about Batman for an hour instead of, you know, spiritual disciplines or whatever we're supposed to be talking about. And so we started Sci-Fi Christian in January of 2011. Shortly after that, Matt hatched the diabolical plan to feud with you guys. And I say diabolical because right. I don't know if you knew this part of the story, because this was the master plan, was that Matt was going around listening to all these other similarly themed podcasts, what we were doing. And he realized you guys had a lot of listeners and we didn't have very many. So the plan was we were going to start a fight with you guys, and by doing so, get free exposure on your show and thus help promote us. So it was a completely manipulative plan on our part. But hey, we got to be friends with you guys and everything, so it was fun.
Oh too. Yeah,
but yeah, we've been nominated for three podcast awards now, lost each time. But hey, you know, considering the size of some of the shows we've gone up against, it's been fun just to be nominated and out there. We're at about episode 235, so we've got a lot to go. If you get interested in our show, lots to fall back on. Right. We're kind of, as our name implies, talking about sci-fi stuff similar to what you guys do on the diner, and we mix in theology. And a lot of our shows will be a mix of the two, where we're coming at a sci-fi topic from a theological angle. But we also have shows that are just straight theology or straight science fiction. So if you're interested in one or both of those topics, definitely give us a listen. And you can find us at thescifichristian.com.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the equipment you use. When we talked, there was an app that you guys are using that I know that you feel really helps streamline your podcast. You want to tell us a little bit about that and maybe how that functions in your podcast for you?
Yeah, I mean, early on, you know, when you first start podcasting, you instantly think, you know, about all the cool sound clips you want to be able to play. And you probably overdo it a little bit at first because you're having too much fun playing all these, you know, either effects or different quotes or whatever that you find. So once we, you know, when Matt and I were doing the show for the church, it was us sitting on opposite sides of a TV tray with a small little microphone in between us that we both talked into. And gradually we upgraded our equipment and got to the point where we realized that we could finally do some cool stuff, like have, you know, these sound effects and everything instead of having to edit it in afterwards. So I instantly knew that I wanted to find some kind of a program that would let me work. That would let me do exactly that. Let me use sound clips on the show, and be able to do what I was looking to do. And what I found was the program called Soundbite, which I Byte is BYTE in this case, put out by Black Cat Systems or Black Cat Software, one of the two. If you just Google Black Cat and Soundbyte, you'll find it right away. And I initially used it on the desktop. They've got a desktop and an iPad version. When we first started doing Sci-Fi Christian, we were recording at my place, so I would have my PC up and running, and I just used the desktop version. Since then, we've switched to recording at Matt's place, and Soundbyte is even easier for me to use now because I just bring my iPad along. They've got a great iPad app. Plug it right into the soundboard, and we're able to do all the sound clips we need, from our intro to any transition music to any, just random clips we want to throw into the show at opportune moments, all without any post-production editing. So it's really a huge time saver for us, in addition to being a lot of fun.
In post-production, then, how has this saved you guys time? Because, I mean, sometimes when I talk to podcasters, a thing that becomes so arduous for them is when they go through and they have to go through and do all this editing post-production. How has this saved you guys time?
You know, when we were doing the live report, and I mentioned we had that little microphone between us, you know, there's no way to pull clips in at that point. But we still had intro music and outro music. So one of us would have to take the microphone, you know, export the file into our computer, get the sound clips, edit them in, re-export it, you know, and do everything manually that way. Now what we do, and what we've been doing really since the beginning of the Sci-Fi Christian, has been when we start the show, we hit record, Matt or I plays the clip for our intro music, and we just go, you know, we just talk over that. There's no editing whatsoever in terms of getting the intro music in. We have less so now, but we separate our sci-fi news shows and our main topic shows now. But in the beginning, we did all those at once. So we'd start with sci-fi news and then get into a main topic and finish with listener feedback. So we'd have transition clips we'd play between all of those. You know, if we didn't have this program, you'd have to mark down the timestamp, go in there afterwards, put the transition music in. We just play all that live. So there's really no post-production editing as far as all that goes. In fact, just about the only editing that Matt winds up doing is when I drop in an inappropriate joke or something like that that he deems is not worthy of the Sci-Fi Christian audience, which I do every now and then just to mess with him. But outside of stuff like that, there's really no editing necessary for the show, and it's great.
Well, yeah, it is. It obviously saves time. Obviously, I was going to ask. So, other than maybe cutting out a few things that you say, you don't do a lot of editing as far as for clicks, stuff like that. Whatever happens in the live show is basically what people get then.
Yeah, and we did that for a couple of reasons. Part of it is our aesthetic, you know, that I think a lot of people do a really polished, high editing show and it sounds great. What we wanted to go for, and what we've always kind of gone for more than Sci-Fi Christian, is more of a raw feel. You're listening to two guys having a conversation about whatever the topic du jour is, and whatever happens, happens. You know, so if we go off topic on something, and we try and keep those reined in more since we're not doing editing, but if we go off topic on something, if something weird happens, if something, you know, kind of off kilter happens, you're going to hear that on the show. And that's not everybody's cup of tea, you know, but that's okay. It's been our style. And the other reason we did it, and part of what pushed us to that aesthetic, besides it just being something we both enjoy, is that when Matt and I first started the show, we were both in school. We were both doing graduate school at the time. I had a wife and kids. Matt wasn't married yet, but he had a full-time job. I was working, and we were really, really busy. So we wanted to do this hobby, but we didn't have time for editing. We just didn't have time to spend that hour or two in post-production doing all of this. So being able to use Soundbyte, drop those clips in, not have to do editing and everything, not only made it easier, but it made it possible at that time. I can honestly say that he and I couldn't have managed the time to do a podcast when we started it anyway, if we hadn't had this.
just so we can our listeners can get a feel for how you use it. So when you run it, when you run it on your computer, you're running it through your iPad. You guys are not recording directly onto a computer. You're recording through a mixing board and then onto what? I mean, how does your setup look?
Yeah, in the case of the computer, we put the audio from the computer into the mixing board, and then we pump the audio out of the mixing board back into the computer. So we just use, you know, you've got your microphone and headphone outlets, and you just got to, you know, plug all the wires into the right holes and everything. We're actually are recording into the computer, but in order to pick up sound bite and everything, you kind of have to do that little, you know, wiring voodoo or whatever to get everything out and back in again. In the case of my iPad, which we're not recording into, though I'm sure there's a way you could do that. We don't, just because we have Audacity and everything on Matt's PC, and he does the editing, so it's easier for us to just do it that way. But I just run, we just run a standard headphone cable from the output on my iPad, where the headphones would go, into one of the input feeds on the mixing board, and we're right in there. So then it's just part of the mix, same as our microphone, same as what we're getting from the PC. And so it's really, you know, it, depending on your mixing board and everything, it can be extremely easy to moderately complicated, but it's nothing that's going to be rocket science. You know, you've got input feeds on your mixing board or whatever, or you've got input feeds on your computer or however you've got it wired. It's just a question of getting the right wires and getting everything hooked up correctly.
Now, when you're using Soundbite, how do you get sounds? Let's say you find a clip, you have your Stan Lee quote of the week, or whatever you're doing, you throw a clip onto Soundbite. How does that work?
In the desktop version, I mean, first what you have to do is you have to get your clip however you're going to get it, whether it's downloading an MP3 online, whether it's taking a cut of something goofy one of us said. I actually have a clip, and I, unfortunately, you know, since I'm not set up with my actual equipment here because it's at Matt's place, I can't play it for you. But I have a clip of something you said a couple of years ago during our feud that is absolutely hilarious, and I don't remember the context of it. But it's if Ben DiBono jumped off a cliff, would Matt Anderson follow? I would say yes, and that just always struck me as very funny. So I was listening to your show, heard that, grabbed it. And then I just loaded up the MP3 from your show or whatever into Audacity, grabbed just that clip. And then once you've got your MP3, if you're on the desktop, what you do is there's just a menu, you select your file or whatever, and then there's a series of slots on your screen for different clips. On the iPad, it's a little more complicated. You have to load up iTunes and connect to your iPad as though you're going to sync it, whether that's wireless or you're plugging in with the cord or whatever you normally do to sync your iPad or iPhone. And then on the iTunes screen, there's a little section for apps. And if you scroll down to the bottom, there's Soundbite is an option on there. And there will be something where you have the option to add files to Soundbite. And so you do that with the iPad, transfers them over. Then you go into the Soundbite app itself. And same type of layout where there's a number of slots to add clips or whatever. And you just click on one of those, select what clip you want to go in. It'll bring up a menu of all the clips you've preloaded in Soundbite, and then you're good to go. It's nice because both the desktop and the iPad versions have options to color code your clips. Hmm. So I've used that quite a bit on my iPad where, you know, you've got your standard ones in green. I have my inappropriate clips I'm not allowed to play on the show, but like to play to bug Matt in red. So I play them, you know, you can just do whatever you want. Whatever system works for you, you can group your clips by color as well, which makes it very, very useful.
Let's say I have clips I use 1 week and I know I'm not going to use some of the clips again. Is there a way, like from your iPad, to delete the clips and get rid of them?
Yeah, it's actually not going to be from your iPad. It's going to be the same way that you would add clips. You'd go into iTunes after connecting your iPhone and then go down to the app, and you can get rid of those clips you don't want anymore. What you can do from the app inside of just from your iPad is you could clear that box or whatever. And so you wouldn't see it on your front screen. But if you went in to go select a clip, you would see you still see that clip, even if it's one you never want to use again.
So all the clips would be there. Yeah.
Exactly.
So I'm looking on the site, and I don't have the app price itself. I know if you go to buy the desktop version right now, it starts at around $39, I believe, if you buy the copy outright. But it sounds, but for the way it streamlines it for you guys, it seems like, especially if you want it for the computer, this seems like, I mean, the cost benefit of this is incredible. But I think that the app is actually a bit cheaper. I want to say when I bought it, I bought Soundbite for my iPhone. I think it was $4.99.
Yep, it's $5 in the App Store.
It's a huge price difference. So if you're looking for something just a little bit cheaper to play around with, and you're willing to work with iTunes on it, certainly seems like the app is the maybe first step. And if you really like and say, man, I would love to have this on my computer, then shell out maybe the 30 or 40 bucks for it.
Now there is a trial version you can use on the desktop.
Yeah, what does that limit you to?
What happens is that it limits some of your features a little bit. You don't get the color coding. You can only have one screen of your different slots, whereas if you buy it, you can get, you know, as many different cart screens as you want. So like for you, Scott, if you've got three different shows or whatever, you could have one show for the Sci-Fi Diner, one for this one for your Dune podcast. You couldn't do that with just the free trial. You're right. Limited to just that one screen. You don't get the color coding. And then the other thing it does, which is kind of obnoxious, is every 2-3 minutes, it will pop up a little box in front of your screen that tells you that you're using the free trial version. And you have to click OK on that before you can play any clips. And those will accumulate. So if you just decide to ignore that, you come back an hour later, you're going to have about 20 of those that you have to individually click all of them. So you kind of got to stay on top of that if that's how you're going to use it. I know there was times when I was using the free version where I would want to drop in a clip quick because it was just opportune. It wasn't planned. You know, one of us had said something that was just the perfect lead into it. I'd bring up the soundbite window and I've got 30 different little boxes I've got to click through. And by the time you do that, the moment has passed.
What sounds like then, you know, if people are hearing us talking and saying, you know, I want to try this, that they can download it and play with the screen, get a good feel for it. And then if the pop-ups get too annoying or they feel like they need multiple screens for it, then they can go ahead and, you know, shell out the money if they want.
And the iPad version, you do get the multiple screen thing as well. So I have all of my every show clips on the first screen, and then I've got a bunch of other goofy clips on subsequent screens that I can just flip to, but don't necessarily need that instant access to.
And just for those of you, everyone knows out there, it is available for both the Mac and the PC, for Windows, both Windows and Mac platforms. So so it's not limited from one platform or the other. Ben, I just want to thank you so much for coming on the show to chat about Soundbite, the way you use it. And I think for new podcasters starting out and they want to put clips, introductions into their show, and they kind of want to save themselves some time in editing, Soundbite, if I can speak here, it sounds like a really good option for them, at least to play with and experiment with.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that if you're a podcaster, and you're just looking for a way to cut down on time, or even if you're not, it's always nice to, even if you don't mind the time editing, you have the time, you know, who doesn't want to make their life a little easier? Always play with it. You don't like it, go back to what you were doing. But I think it's at least worth giving it a look and seeing if it works for you.
Thanks, Ben, again, for coming on and chatting with us on Inside the Studio, the podcaster here.
Hello, I'm Matt Anderson.
And I am Ben DiBono.
And we are the hosts of the Sci-Fi Christian
Podcast.
That's right.
Yeah.
A podcast.
We're a podcast.
And we say we bring theology at warp speed. Ben, what does that mean?
Well, warp speed's kind of a sci-fi trope, if you will. We do theology. We do sci-fi fantasy stuff. So we kind of combined them into a tagline, a fun tagline. Not strictly accurate if you take it literally, but...
Yeah, so basically we talk about theology, science fiction.
Well, there goes our
mix
music.
It together, yeah. And that's us. That's the podcast.
That's the podcast.
If you like those two things, it's pretty self-explanatory. Yeah. The Sci-Fi Christian, which you can find at thescifichristian.com.
Yeah, sounds good, Matt. That's been a heck of a promo.
Yeah, well, that's all from here. I'm Matt Anderson.
I'm Ben DiBono.
And we are the Sci-Fi Christians.
Yeah, goodbye.
Signing off.
I think that was good.
That was a pretty good promo.
That was a heck of a promo.
First take. High five.
Yeah. We only do one take.
So it was absolutely awesome talking to Ben DiBono. If you get a chance, please check out Soundbite at blackcatsystems.com. Let me know what you think. Email me at podcastingguru@gmail.com. If you would like to have Soundbite for free, either as a computer application on your computer or for your Android or iOS device, please follow me on Twitter at podcastingguru or join the facebook.com/podcastingguru page. Then retweet or share this episode of the podcast. If you are already following me, you can just retweet or share this post to get into the drawing for Soundbite. Now, before we go, we did get some listener feedback, and this feedback comes from Jim Arrowood from Jim's Sci-Fi Blog and the Babylon Project podcast. He's going to talk a little bit about his experience with Goldwave.
Greetings, Scott, and congratulations on your new podcast endeavor inside the studio of the podcaster. I have enjoyed the episode so far, and I am looking forward to learning from you and your guests as time goes on. As suggested in your episode on recording and editing software with Doug Payton, I decided to give Goldwave a try. It is everything that Doug said it was, but especially easy to use. After downloading it, I played with it for about an hour and found that it does everything I need for my purposes and more. The one thing that I was most impressed with was the quality of the sound that I got when listening back to things I recorded. I use a ribbon mic because it provides for a rich, warm sound that I got while working in radio years ago. Goldwave reproduced my sound exactly as I wanted it through my board without making any enhancements through the program. It doesn't get any easier than that. However, if I had chosen to use some enhancements such as reverb, flange, or whatever, it is very conveniently located in the menu bar. I have been using Audacity for a while, but I often found that I have to reset everything before recording. Not so with Goldwave. It remembers my settings and is ready to record as soon as it opens. Another feature I particularly appreciate is the choice of ways to watch levels while recording. I like the more traditional VU meters and appreciate them being included in the program. I still have a lot to learn, but am confident that as various features are needed, and there are a plethora of them, I will be able to use them with ease. Thanks for the 1-year activation code, and be assured when the year is up, I intend to invest in this software permanently. Stay cool and keep podcasting. Kapla!
Thank you for sending your MP3. He recorded that using Goldwave, and I'm really glad that he's finding it so user-friendly and of quality. If you still would like to try Goldwave and you haven't written in and asked, I still have one code left. Let me know if you want it. Until next time, keep podcasting, stay learning, and by all means, keep listening.